Well, let me encourage you to maybe keep your Bible open at the passages that we read in Philippians chapter 2 and not least in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We live in an age where we are constantly encouraged to the need to go out for a walk, take some exercise, and all of that kind of thing. I was reading recently just a funny little story of someone who had been into a local gym and was saying to a friend, you know, it's amazing the machines they have in that place. There's a new one there. I used it for, well, I could only use it actually for about half an hour because I started to feel a little bit sick. It's got Kit Kats in it, Mars bars, crisps and all sorts of things. So it's one of those kind of silly little jokes. But we do live in an age where we are encouraged to take spiritual exercise. And I just want this evening to remind us of a few important things. And in many ways, I want to pick up on a little text that I have spoken about, I think, in the past, but I want to say something again about it at this particular time of the year. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, and you can see for yourself there, it says, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. And what I want to do this evening, and there will be something here for us all, wherever we stand spiritually, the first thing that I want us to think about is the call to take spiritual exercise. I'm just going to put these three headings up and then we can think about it. First of all, the call to take spiritual exercise. You maybe ask me, well, what sort of spiritual exercise are you talking about? We'll get to that in a moment or two. But Scripture, the pages of Scripture, calls each and every professing believer to take seriously spiritual exercise. It says in the Old Testament, in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, that the people of God were trained for battle. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 that if you would come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. The Apostle Paul speaks about training and running in such a way as to get the prize. He speaks about strict training, going into strict training, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here in this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he encourages young Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want you to train to be godly. I want you to train yourself to be a godly young man. Young folk, all of us, the pages of Scripture call us to this. If I was to ask you this evening, tell me the names of some of the great men and women of God down through the generations, I wonder whose names would come to your mind. Some of the names that come to my mind, not in any particular order, but going right back, people like Augustine, people like Patrick, people like Francis of Assisi, people like John Calvin, people like Susanna Wesley, the godly mother of John and Charles, people like George Whitfield, people like young William Carey, that young English lad who had a real burden for the people in the Far East, people like the godly David Brainerd, that young American lad who had a real concern for the American Indians. It's an amazing story. People like Robert Murray McShane, that young Scottish lad who went on to be a minister and see so much happen. People like Hudson Taylor, that young English boy who went to China Helen Roosevelt here from this country of ours, who went out to Africa, and so on and so forth. If you read these people's lives, what is one of the things that you will notice? One of the things that you will notice is that there were men and women who took time to be godly. They were disciplined. I'm not suggesting they were perfect like the rest of us. They made mistakes. They didn't always do things in exactly the right way. But they heard the call of Scripture to train themselves to be godly. The current spiritual climate also calls us. We live in an age, don't we, where increasingly the things of God, it would seem, in this country are being set to the side. We live in a very secular age, a time of secularism, a time of pluralism, where everything is accepted as the truth. The only thing that is not accepted as the truth is the Christian message about Jesus. And everything is tolerated. The only thing that is not tolerated is the message that Jesus Christ is Lord. The church is being rejected by many, and so on and so forth. Richard Foster, some of you may know that name. Richard Foster has written a very famous book called Celebration of Discipline. And he says this, he says, the desperate need today is not for a greater number of intelligent people or gifted people, but for deep people. And what Richard Foster meant as a Christian believer was the need for people who know God. Not just in a superficial way, but who want to really get to know God in a deep way. And so the call to take spiritual exercise. Let me go on to say, secondly, before we get to the heart of this, the reason for taking spiritual exercise. If you have your Bible open at that text, it's a very simple little text, but there's so much in it. Look at what it says. Paul says to young Timothy, train yourself to be godly. To be godly. I was struck recently, some of you may know the name of Jerry Bridges. Jerry Bridges has written a lot of stuff. Some of you will know the Navigators. Jerry Bridges has written an awful lot of stuff for the Navigators. And he made a comment recently that over the years, he has encountered many, many Christian people, many, many capable, talented Christians. But he made this comment that you may think is slightly... Well, you might say, well, I wouldn't have said that. He said that while he has met many capable, talented Christian people, it would seem that, in his view, that there are fewer and fewer godly people around today. The kind of people that when you see them, when you spend a little bit of time in their presence, you sense something of God. And you're not only maybe slightly rebuked, but you're encouraged to go away and say, I want to get to know God more. And Paul says to young Timothy, Timothy, train yourself to be godly. You see, there is a danger today that sometimes we say to ourselves, to be a godly person is just something that's going to happen. I'm going to just sit there and wait for God to do something, to zap me in some way, and suddenly I will be godly. That's not how it happens. Yes, it is God who makes us godly. But the flip side of that coin is that we are called to train ourselves under God to be godly. Let me back that up by, that was why I read from Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says to this church, he says, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but in my absence, Listen to this. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, let's be clear what we're saying here. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus. We cannot ever work our way into the grace of God. We can never save ourselves. Salvation is not by what we do. Salvation is by sheer grace through faith in Jesus. That is the gospel. And we know that. And we were thinking this morning, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And we pause at this point to allow the challenge of that to come to any who may be with us tonight. And as yet you have not sought the Lord while he may be found. You have not yet called upon him while he is near. And a reminder again this evening, do not presume upon the grace of God. Do not presume I'll get that sorted down the line. Down the line may never, ever, ever come. Behold, now is the time of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So we need to be clear about that, and I'm sure we are clear about that. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus. But when we are saved, when we are converted to Christ, when we do give our lives to the Lord Jesus, part of the Christian experience is what Paul is saying here in this passage in Philippians. He says to us, and God says to us, continue to work out your salvation. In other words, don't just sit back and say, well, I'm in and I just cruise my way to heaven. That is not the gospel. We are to work out our salvation. We're to train ourselves to be godly. We're to fight the good fight of faith. And so tonight, can I challenge you, young and older person here, what is the reason for this spiritual exercise? What is the point in it? It's so that we would grow in grace. That we would become more and more like Jesus. Why does anybody go to the gym or to a Keep Fit class or whatever? Well, it's to keep fit. It's to get stronger. You're not going to get fit or stronger by sitting in the corner. And spiritually, that is absolutely the case. But let me move on to the third thing. And that is the practice. Because as I've said, as with physical exercise, so it is with spiritual exercise. We can hear the call to take exercise. We can even ponder the benefits of doing so. But there comes a stage when you have to actually do something. And when we reach a certain stage of life, says he, reflecting on recent weeks, we know that we have to actually do something. It's the same spiritually. And so what are we actually talking about here? There's basically a couple of things that I want to mention this evening. And God willing, next week we'll mention a couple more things. There's basically two things I want to just remind us of this evening. None of this, I expect, is profoundly different to what you've ever heard before. But the first thing is that we need to take time to listen to God. How do we listen to God? Sometimes there can be strange ideas about that go around. Sometimes people have these ideas that you go way up onto the mountainside and you sort of, not quite sure what you do, but you listen and you listen out for God. Well, that's certainly not what I'm saying tonight. We listen to God as we take our Bibles off our shelves and we open them, or for the young people, get your iPad out and open it up. And as you read the Word, you are listening to God. Jeremiah Burroughs was a famous Christian from a bygone age, and he said this: when you come to hear the Word, you must possess your souls with what it is you're going to hear. That is, what you are going to hear is the Word of God. And so, all I'm saying this evening is this: that we need to continue to be in the habit of reading our Bibles regularly. And whether it's taking your Bible off the cabinet and opening it up, or whether it's on an iPad, it doesn't make any difference. As long as it's the Word of God, read it. Standards, I believe, are slipping in this. And as Christian people, we need to be careful. Get good Bible reading notes which sit you and will encourage you in your reading. Scripture Union, Geneva Bible reading notes, or a reading plan. Some of you may use the Robert Murray McShane reading plan, which will take you through the whole Bible in a year. And indeed, parts of it you'll read twice in the year. Find a time that suits. Some of you are night owls. We can't get you to bed. Some of you are early larks. Well, you find a time that suits you and carve out that space to be alone with God. Thomas Watson, a famous Christian, once said this: as you read the Scriptures, so here you are on a morning or an evening and you're reading your Bible. It doesn't have to be a long passage. Well, it might be a long passage, but it doesn't have to be. And you're sitting reading, or you've got your iPad and you're reading. Thomas Watson said this: think in every line that you read that God is speaking to you. Now, you really think about that and believe that, and take it from me, that will transform your Bible reading. You will no longer be sitting there saying, oh, well, I better do this or I'll feel guilty. We've all been there. And here's a really important thing: meditate upon the Word. Gordon MacDonald, famous for his book Ordering Your Private World, said this: many Christian men and women are painfully dissatisfied with their level of contact with God. I just don't feel I get through, is a typical comment. Have you ever felt like that? I suspect some of you have. Thomas Watson, I've already quoted him. He was a 17th century Puritan. Young folk, yes, he may have lived a long time ago, but don't dismiss him for that reason. Thomas Watson said this: the reason we come away so cold from reading the Word of God is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. I'll repeat that. The reason we come away cold from reading the Word of God is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8: do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. What does that actually mean? Well, here you are sitting at your Bible. Here you are sitting at your iPad, and you've opened up the Bible app, and you're reading a little bit, pause to meditate upon it. There's a phrase, strikes you. Stop. Think about it. Meditate upon it. Maybe it's saying something to you about what God is like, what Jesus is like, what the Holy Spirit is like. Maybe it's a command as to how we ought to live. Maybe it's a rebuke. Maybe it's an example. Maybe it's a promise. Meditate upon it. Chew it around. Write it down on a piece of paper and stick it in your pencil case or stick it in the front of your lorry that you're driving or whatever, so that you can remind yourself throughout the day and you can get it going through your head. It's a bit like the old cow chewing the cud. That's what we're called to do. Meditate upon it. And what you will discover, and some of you know this, you don't need me to say this, is that it will warm your heart. It will be a blessing to you. And you will hear God speaking, and you will be blessed by it. The second thing that I want to say as regards our practice is about talking to God. And really, the first thing that I just want to say here is this. If you were to ask some of these musicians, how do they learn to play? They would say to you, well, we learn to play by practicing. And the answer to the question, how do we pray, is that we learn to pray by praying. We learn to pray by praying. The Puritans used to always say, and I quote some of them here directly, pray until you pray, unquote. Four words, pray until you pray. How many of you have ever had the experience of sitting down to pray? And why is it, by the way, that when you sit down to pray, that suddenly a dozen and one things come into your head? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had the experience of sitting down to pray and suddenly some desperately urgent thing comes into your head? Oh, I have to do that. I have to be there. I must do it now. And for some amazing reason, it seems that it's not possible that whatever has to be done can even wait 5 minutes. Sometimes it's amusing how those things happen. What's going on there? Well, the devil's at work to start with. I have found myself, there are so many things that can distract. Have you ever had the feeling, whenever you've got down to pray, of not quite just being able to get into it and giving up? Well, what we're saying here is that persevere, pray until you pray. Let me give you a few practical helps that may help you at this stage. If you like singing, sing a verse of a hymn. You say to me, well, have you heard me singing, really? Well, you don't want to sing a verse of a hymn yourself? Put on a verse of a hymn or a chorus on a CD and listen to it, and allow that to lead you into a spirit of prayer. Have you ever thought about praying out loud? I would advise you to be in your room on your own when you're doing this, of course. Pray out loud. Sometimes it helps to block and to stop mental drift. Take some of the prayers of the Bible and actually just open the Bible at some of these prayers, like, for example, Nehemiah's prayer in Nehemiah chapter 1, or David's prayer, or Hezekiah's prayer, or some of Paul's prayers. The Bible is full of them. And actually, you can do an awful lot worse than look at some of these prayers and just actually pray the same things that Paul is praying or David is praying. and apply them to your own situation. As I've said already, feed your prayers by meditating on the scriptures. As Richard Baxter used to say, the one serves to put life into the other. So you're reading a passage, something really strikes you, and you just pause and you pray as the Spirit leads you. Develop your own prayer system. Take out a pencil and a piece of paper, a little notebook, and say, look, I'm going to pray about these people this week or on this particular day. Buy a copy of Operation World or get an app on your iPad that will help you to pray about particular things. So we learn to pray by praying. We learn to pray by adopting practical helps. We learn to pray by praying together. Again, let me strongly encourage you, especially if you are a communicant member, to come to the place of prayer. The place of prayer can be the one place that we don't come to. And in my experience, people can have all sorts of, I don't know, different ideas about a prayer meeting. Any of the prayer meetings that happen in this church, you will be absolutely free to come and pray silently. No one will ever, certainly as far as I'm concerned, say to you, oh, lead us in a prayer and put you in a really awkward situation. If you want to lead us in prayer, that's absolutely fine. Sometimes people say, is it okay to come to a prayer meeting and just have a couple of wee things written out to help me to pray? Of course it is. There are no rules and regulations about these things. The important thing is that we are coming together to pray. And sometimes we pray as a big group. And sometimes we pray in a small group. But again, there is no pressure on anyone to be doing anything. And if people want to come in and spend the whole time just silently praying in their own hearts, that is perfectly acceptable to the Lord, in the same way as someone may lead us in a public prayer. So do not be put off by these things. And can I say, the prayer meeting, the prayer time, is not just for Christians who almost, as somebody put it to me once in another situation, well, when you reach a certain stage of the Christian life, you can go to the prayer meeting. I'm not quite sure where that ever came from. When you read the New Testament, you will see right from the very beginning that the believers gave themselves to assembling together and to praying together. And so can I ask you, if you're a communicant member here, to really not only think seriously, but to act and to come along to some of the prayer times. There's a Tuesday morning prayer time, the Thursday midweek. I leave it with you. Time has almost gone. We learn to pray by praying. We learn to pray by adopting practical helps. We learn to pray by praying together. We learn to pray by reading about prayer. Either books about the subject, famous books like the book called Prayer by the Norwegian Christian Hallesby, or the book by Bill Hybels, Too Busy Not to Pray. Or read a book about those who did pray. The Diary of Robert Murray McShane. I've shared with you before. It has had a profound influence on many people, including myself as a young Christian. The psalmist said in Psalm 81, The psalmist says, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. And we need to be, as it were, coming to the Lord, listening to what he has to say to us from his word, taking time to speak with him, and as it were, opening wide our mouths that God would fill them with good things. My last quotation is this, from a little book on prayer by James and Joel Beakey. Our prayer life is an indicator of our spiritual appetite. We must examine ourselves to see what size servings of spiritual food satisfy us. Are some of us who are true children of the living God surviving on portions so scanty that we can barely stay alive? How lean our personal prayers and devotions can be. Lest you be deflated by that, and that is not what I would wish at the end of this message. Yes, our personal prayers and devotions sometimes can be a little bit lean. But it would be my sincere prayer for myself and for all of us tonight that we would go from this place with a deep desire to learn from the challenge of this and to endeavor by God's grace that over the coming days and weeks and autumn and winter season, that in the words of Paul to young Timothy, that whilst we maybe are endeavouring to go out for a bit more of a walk or to go to the gym or to do this and to do that, that even more importantly than these things, that we would train ourselves to be godly. That we would give ourselves to the Word of God and to the place of prayer in such a way that we would be revived and refreshed and built up so that indeed others will see that we have been with Jesus.